Let's open our Bibles first in the Psalms. Psalm 89. And we'll read verse 1. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will shall make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And now we'll turn over to the New Testament. First Epistle of Corinthians. All to the Corinthians. Chapter 1. We'll read part of verse 9. God is faithful. That's enough. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. God is faithful. And now 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. And verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Faithful men. The last scripture is in Revelation, chapter 2. And we'll read part of verse 10. Revelation 2 and part of verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. I think we must all look upon this meeting as a very important occasion. A 100 years. Many souls say the service of the sanctuary maintained. Saints encouraged, built up. It's fitting that we look upon this as a very important occasion. I'm reminded, in connection with Solomon's temple at the dedication, how that Solomon prayed that God's eyes would be upon the place and ear open to the prayers that rose from that place. And you know the answer that he got, that not only I would be upon it, and the ear open, but his heart would be there. I think I can say soberly, quietly, I trust effectively, God's heart in this place, 100 years. I often think of words of dear Peter, he used to feel it deeply in his soul. He quoted it, "Render unto the Lord the glory due to his name." And if you look at that section, worship the Lord in holy splendor. God is looking for a response in respect of all that he lavishes upon his people. And that's why I believe this is a very important occasion, not only for you and me, but for the God who is the fountain and spring from whence all blessings flow. Let us be hopeful in his presence. There are two other considerations in a meeting like this. There are those who have borne the heat and burden of the day, many of them now with the Lord. There are some who continue the testimony in this place, and they'll have their reward. Group, carry on the testimony. Of Elko this hall, the red tile, well known. We pray for them. But there's a third group, and I'm part of that group. Perhaps you are too. Very great debt of gratitude to Elko Place Hall, the testimony that's gone out from this place, reaching me anyway, in a formative stage in my spiritual history. And I thank God from the bottom of my heart for everything of Elko Place Hall. Scripture in Psalm 89, verse 1, to show that this matter of response to God is not peculiar to this company or to this generation. Psalm 89 is the last of the third book of Psalms. In this book we find the recovery of the whole nation. And this last psalm starts with a heading which indicates that the kind of response that we're speaking about has been proper to other generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You can see the picture, can't you? Here's spokesman, the psalmist of Israel, conscious that the nation is very close to the culmination of God's purpose and the establishment of millennial blessing. And he speaks of the mercies of the Lord. And he sings about it. And what a voice that has. Not only for this generation, but for all generations. Because he goes on to say, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now that's my subject for this afternoon. I want to speak of faithfulness. I want to speak of faithfulness in a way which I trust the Spirit of God will carry home. Write it upon your heart, burn it into your soul, make it part of your experience. God is faithful. We have a faithful God. And I want to linger a little bit on that, because this is the foundation of our confidence. A God who is faithful. And then in the second scripture, we'll talk a little bit about faithful men. And I'm sure that's really what some of you are wanting to hear me say something about. Well, I will. But the third section is, what is the voice to us? Be thou this. Let us linger on this matter. God is faithful. unfaithful world. A faithful man, who shall find? It seems that in this day of breakdown in almost every sphere, we need a certain resting place for our souls. And where do we find it? God is faithful. Now, I'll get this up for you a little bit, because I want you to get the message. I'm going to speak of it under three heads. And the first head is that God is faithful to Christ. Now, this might sound a little strange in your ears, but I hope I can make it clear to you. God is faithful to Christ. It'll only be strange in your ears if you don't really know the one of whom. Now, I'm going to give him his full title, Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God over all, blessed forever. God manifest in flesh, the true God, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Let no one here have irreverent, low thoughts of the one who is our Savior. He is God. But he's also a real man, spirit, soul, body. A man with true feelings. I'm glad that was pressed this afternoon. A man with true feelings. A sinless man. A perfect man. A God man. Now, what I want to develop a little bit is that God was faithful to Christ. And this can only be understood when I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ was in this world with a mission. Jehovah's servant, Zion's king. He came as sent forth from with the Father. And he had work to do. Where there is no vision, the people perish. He was a man with a vision. He had a joy set before him. But in the meantime, he had work to do. What was that work? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Lord Jesus Christ was in this world to make the Father known. Not as Almighty, that was the way he was known to the patriarchs. Not as Jehovah, that was the way he's known by Israel. But as the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of an only begotten with the Father. He was in this world to make God known. But he was also in this world to restore that which he took not away. Man, left to himself, born of Adam's race, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. He was altogether for God's displeasure. Genesis 6, grieved God at his heart, made man. But Christ, he restored that which he took not away. Very difficult. I ask you to understand it. He was a real man, but he was a man after an order. We are creatures, he was the creator. We are from beneath, he was from above. And in his manhood, walking through this world, he did always those things which please the Father. The moral excellency of Jesus. What a delight it is to follow it in the Spirit's power, to consider a life divine below. That's Jesus. He was in this world, we read, to undo the works of the wicked one, and he was great enough to do it. He met the enemy in the wilderness, the strong man armed, that's the devil. But a stronger than he came upon him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took away all the armor in which that strong man trusted, and he spoiled his goods. What a Savior Jesus is, a triumphant Savior who's more than a match for the devil. And don't you and I imagine that you and I can meet the devil? Not a bit of it. Michael the Archangel durst bring no railing accusation, but said the Lord rebuked there. Satan is a very real power. He's very active today. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have one great enough to meet the enemy. And the triumphs of the wilderness led to the ministry of the pathway. And man, in all his ministry and misery, was met by the tender touch of infinite power as Jesus walked through this world. The blind, the lame, the leper, the deaf, the dead. There was no case too hard for Jesus. But that wasn't the chief reason that he came into this world. The Lord Jesus was here to lay a foundation broad and deep for a new heavens and a new earth. The only way in which a sinner can be brought into the presence of God is by sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus was given this commission to die. Once in the end of the world, as he appeared, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One sacrifice forever. And we've been privileged already to see him in the garden and move forward to the cross. Strong crying and tears, the cup, and the 3 hours of darkness. And God, God, forsook him there. You may know if you read seven songs in Isaiah the third, the Lord Jesus says, he is near that justifieth me. He's brought to the bottom. I'm glad of communion, doubtless, until the 3 hours. But in death, he had every confidence in his God. He is near that justifieth me. And he left himself confidently in the hands of the God that brought him to this place. What happened? Was God faithful? What a question. God was faithful to Christ. God saw to it that there was an adequate answer to what was accomplished at Calvary's cross. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It is finished. What's the answer? God raised him from the dead. And I ask you just to ponder a little bit God's faithfulness to Christ. There had to be an answer for those sufferings. He's been crowned with glory and honor. There had to be an answer to the infinite perfections that were found in his pathway. What is it? He's the first begotten from among the dead. In all things he must have the first place. Obedience perfect. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. What's the answer? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's God's faithfulness to Christ. This is the foundation of all blessing, dearly beloved brethren. God's faithfulness to Christ has put him at the Father's right hand. And I'll tell you something more. The Father has given him a portion for his own heart. He's given him a crown of gold upon his head. He's made him blessings forevermore. He's given him the desire of his own heart. And he's now got the assembly for himself. A bride. At present it is his body, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. But presently that body is going to be presented to himself, a bride, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And this is all an answer, God's faithful answer to the infinite perfection, person and work of Jesus. But God is all faithful to his promises. Faithful to Christ, he's faithful to his promises. And what a wonderful thing that is. God is true to his word. All the promises of God are in him, yea, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Someone was telling me some time back that there are about 3,500 promises in the Bible. Well, I haven't counted them up. I'm only going to tell you one. And I think if you get a hold of this one, you'll get a good lead in to the other 3,499. What is the promise? And I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, who shall abide with you forever. You might say to me, my dear friends, a most remarkable promise, and I hope I can make it clear to you. Another Comforter, another of the same kind as Jesus, another divine person, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, a divine person here as a result Jesus' prayer to the Father. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter who shall abide with you forever. Now, why do I say this is such an important one? I'll tell you why. Just have a look, dearly beloved brethren, for a moment, at those 12 disciples who accompanied with Jesus before Pentecost. Just have a good look at them. All followed him. They have said you something of the powers of the world to come. Even the devils are subject unto us by thy name. That was when the Spirit came upon them. But they were not in love of the Holy Spirit. What was the result? Just have a look at them. Shut the doors for fear of the Jews. How is it you don't understand? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Peter, full of affection, I'll put thee to prison. Poor Peter, denying the Lord with oaths and curses. These were men who were not indwelt of a divine. What happened at Pentecost? Mighty rushing words. There are two facts in Christianity. There's a man at God's right hand. There's a divine person upon earth. Just have a look at the disciples now. Was the door shut because of the Jews? Not a bit of it. They were like lions, the feeblest among them, like King David. Just have a look at them. We ought to obey God rather than men. Why? They were now indwelt of the Holy Spirit. Did they understand? Most assuredly. An understanding from the Holy One that knew all things. Was there effect, he says? Unquestionably. Did they follow him to prison unto death? Most assuredly. Have a look at Peter now. Ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be released unto you. He's a man transformed, isn't he? Why? All because of one promise. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comfort, the Paraclete, one who draws alongside. Not only so, one who indwells the believer. And every child of God in this room who knows Christ as their Savior has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Indwelt of a divine person. What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And in our meetings together, we prove not only the power of the Holy Spirit individually, but we know something of his movements in the company. All this, God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to his promises. And then third, God faithful to his saints. Now I think this is tremendously attractive. You and I, dear beloved brethren, in a world like this, we can be assured and reassured that God is as good as his word. I don't mind telling you that I first cast my anchor on one of God's promises. Do you know which one it was? John 6:37. I was listening to the preacher right at the back of the hall, and he quoted the verse, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And I thought, that's the Savior I want. One's as good as his word. Mind you, I think I've seen a little bit more in that verse now than when first I heard it, but I thought even the simple hearing of it was good enough for me. And how many other times I've proved, you must have proved, the reality of resting your soul confidently in God's holy word. Trusting in the Lord Jehovah, for in him is the rock of ages, ever faithful, ever sure. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them me, greater than all, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Secure, doubly secure, there I am, right in this. And day by day, we prove God's faithfulness in our pathway. It's quoted in prayer. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And what's more, I will say, it's a faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Now many of us perhaps have had to pass through deep waters one way or another. That's life. A man that's born of a woman born unto trouble. Sparks fly upward. But there's one who will never leave us. Never, never leave us. And it comes from out of all. May I say, that's safe as the rock of Gibraltar. That's our Savior. God is faithful. God is faithful. Faithful to his people. And faithful to the saints, true to his holy word. Now I'm sure most of you are listening with a view, let him get that. I want to hear what he's got to say about these faithful men. Well, I have got something to say about faithful men, because they came into my life at a very formative stage in my history. There is a poor wise child, you know, and an old and thin will no longer be admonished. When you get old, you get fixed, and you get beyond impression. But I was able to gain the impressions that reached me when I came amongst brethren. I was brought up in churches, big ones too, high towers, spires. I was used to the pulpit and the choir and the organ. School I went to used to get a visit each year from the moderator, and I remember him still, clad in his gaiters. And the best thing about his visit was we always got half a day's holiday when he came. Well, that was my early upbringing. Well, I passed through various, and then called up as a militiaman. I saw a certain amount of blessing in the early days of the war. And I came in touch with a blind man, a man who was blind. But he always knew his name. And he won my heart. Came into the meeting. From this contact in Northumberland, I came to Springvale Hall. Up here came to Elker Place Hall. And they weren't clad in gaiters here, fisherman's garb. And I got to know somebody at the shoe shop for cobbles, and the butcher shop. They weren't chaplains to the king, that they were in service of the King of Kings. I've given a little thought to those early days, and I'll probably not put them quite in the right order, but I loved the Bible reading. I was a student at the time, and I always took Wednesday night off. And we had marvellous times. And not only till 9:15 when Peter would say, "Time's up, brethren." We used to walk down the links, my parents in Long Diddery, and sometimes we got almost as far as the golf links before they turned back. Wonderful Bible readings. Yeah. Pond Hall's gone now, but in those days, there was always a queue waiting on the buses getting back to Edinburgh. They couldn't run away. And we preached in the open air. We used to go to the borders too. A few cows, a few sandwiches. We broke bread in those little meetings. Had a Bible reading. And as we came back, we'd stop and preach in the village. And they used to come and sit at the door. And I very well remember, we always had some older brethren with us. Some of us young preachers got some corrections, I can assure you. In a very happy atmosphere. The Bible class, that's a story all by itself. Remember, I was a spectator. Please don't think I was a major contributor. But I enjoyed Bible class. I also really thoroughly appreciated the hospitality of the saints. You know, Davy Horn, he's been mentioned already. The story is, you know, if he looked at you through your glass when you were preaching, all was well. But if he looked at you over your glasses, you can be assured you would get a word of correction out. Now, I had very precious times with Davy, not only in his shop, but in his home, beloved Bella. And he used to tell me stories about Mr. Aziz, I haven't heard his and Dr. Oliver. And there were brethren old enough, you know, to have known Dr. Wilson. mention has been made, Bramwick, some medical work at the Western General, as it was in those days, to escape from the study sometimes to go and see Bramwick. He was being looked after by his daughter. And the dear old man was reliving the campaigns of 1922, when there was a wave of blessing on these coasts. And I can remember him now saying, the hall was so crowded at this very hall, he was unable to find any seating space because they were sitting on the platform round about. And I can assure you, he was a man who could preach. I had a certain amount of fear of him, really. He had a tall, stiff, white collar. And when he preached, you know, he could read the scriptures effectively. There were two other, malefactors, crucified with him. And I thought, ha ha, this man knows what he's talking about. And then, who has believed our report? I hope I have. Well, that was Samuel Dick. And I knew him in his old age, when he was reliving the campaigns, when some of those men that we've been hearing about were still sitting in the front seat. They weren't just gospel campaign converts, they went on with God. And I'll just tell you really what affected me most. In Elko Place Hall, it was the Moors. Those men, you know, they knew their Bibles, knew what it was to suffer. I remember when I used to come to the Bible reading, it was with his father, just when he lost his sister. And dear Jake's father, he quoted me the hymn. And now, Tim folds us. Can there wax, cold or dim? They knew the suffer, but they knew their God. And it came out in the morning meetings, those men, they could pull at the heartstrings as they dwelt upon the sufferings of Christ. It wasn't an academic presentation. Thine the cost, and thine the suffering. I can still hear it ringing in my ears. And when the bread was broken, and they rose in worship to the Father, I hear the voice of dear Tom Dixon, beautiful tenor voice, glory, glory, everlasting, be to him that bore the cross. Matter of fact, I can't sing these hymns sometimes in our own feeble effort without the songs of the past generation rising to my ears. Those beloved, faithful men. But how about you and me? How about you and me? Be faithful unto death. I took account of that scripture as being five words, and I'd like to speak five words with the understanding, be thou faithful unto death. You and I, how we've been often reminded of it in these meetings, have been surrounded by a testimony of godly men, faithful men. We're in touch with a faithful God. And the word that comes to me at the close of this meeting is, be thou faithful unto death. And I'm speaking to everyone in this room. You probably don't realize, and the younger people especially, you don't realize just how wicked this world is. We're much nearer to the end. Evil men is waxing worse and worse. And it can't go on much longer. I'm not all that very old, but I know in my generation, father was head of the household. Seldom nowadays.
My mother never went to work, never had a bank book. She worked at home hard. Children my day were brought in, not her. We got the cane. And for some, certainly had a thorough respect for most. They bore not the rod in vain. In the law courts, the death sentence was still in operation. In those days, the royal house was held in deep affection. Where are we today? Sometimes, if folk realize we're in a Sodom and Gomorrah community, even in my household, not a converted household, the thought of any breakdown, it was mentioned in a whisper. And the thought of a marriage breaking up, unthinkable. And I'm going to repeat it again, things can't go on as they are. You probably don't know of these that are made in many spheres, I confess. Myself, I'm very ignorant. For example, I haven't the slightest idea of computers, and everybody knows everything about them. But I want to tell you one area that you ought to know about. The advance in the modern military machine is so tremendous that even looking at the circumstance, we can be here much longer. You want to get away from it all? Gaddafi in North Africa thought he would have a tent in the desert. The modern military machine landed a bomb in his tent. Recently in Bosnia, they had munition dumps. 13 direct hits with not one missed the target. Modern missiles travel flying to the Concorde. This, that is a result of satellite surveillance and keyhole modules, they can now examine every square meter of Earth. And they're not satisfied with that. They want every square centimeter. There's no place safe. But I'll tell you something even more significant than that. Thou, God, seest me. And everyone in this room, old and young, is under the heart. Is there any safety? Are you thinking, man? I'm telling you this straight, and I hope it. There's only one safe place in the universe, safe in the arms of Jesus.
Amen.
I'll quote you an Old Testament. With me thou shalt be in safeguard. David the king, Gad the prophet, Abiathar the priest, and in all his official glories, Jesus says, come unto me. I wonder if everyone in this room is really, cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. I think that may be one of the reasons why we're having this meeting. Our prayer is that God will seal home this meeting with some results for his glory. Are you hovering between two opinions? Are you thinking you'll have a bit of more of the world? Well, be assured of this. This world's coming under judgment, and quickly things must shortly come to pass. Decide for Christ today. Have you been baptized? Have you? Are you breaking bread? Are you? Are you thoroughly committed to the interests of Christ? Because whatever else the world has to offer, it's going to be only one worthwhile. I don't think I need to say any more. But I ask you soberly to take home this message. God is faithful. We've been surrounded by faithful men. Be thou faithful unto death. I don't know what the future holds. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life. May the Lord bless that word to every one of our souls. Amen.